thank you for your sweet and wonderful presence as attended our gathering, our worship, as we wait on you now in your word. We ask that that same presence go in with us. Oh Lord, if you do not go with us, we will not behold wondrous things out of your word. So we humble ourselves under your mighty hand. Ask for fresh unction. Firstly for me, upon my heart and my lips. Then secondly, upon the ears and the hearts of all who will hear me. Both those who are here physically and those who will hear me remotely, electronically. So that this word, your infinite wisdom, compressed into this written word, will flow freely from you through me to the people to do an internal and eternal work in every heart, including my own. In particular, to make our wills to be more humble, minds to be more enlightened with revelation knowledge, emotions to be more controlled, tempered and powered by the power of the fruit of the Holy Spirit. Father, as the word goes forth, we pray for a great release of your power. Power that will heal, power that will deliver, power that will break yokes. Yes, power that will free men so that they will become doers of the things which they hear and not hearers only. We further pray for mercy to be faithful, to deliver this word, Father, with precision, to redeem the time and say only what you want me to say. Bring out treasure of this word, things new and old, as a scribe instructed unto the kingdom. In Jesus' wonderful name we pray. And all those in agreement, receiving all the blessings in their life, said, this morning, afternoon, I'm just going to share a very brief exhortation with us in line with the move of the Spirit in the service. During the Bible study, I spoke about becoming an eagle saint, so to speak. And here, as the choir was ministering, that song just came by the spur of the moment. Come live in me. Come breathe in me. All my life, take over. And I'm just going to share a few thoughts on these great themes. I'd like you to turn with me your Bible to Luke chapter 11. Luke 11, verse 33. I actually mentioned this tangentially during the Bible study, but I feel led of the Lord to expatiate on it now. No man, I didn't hear you, when he hath lighted a candle, putteth it in a secret place, neither under a bushel, but on a candlestick, that they which come in may see the light. The light of the body is the eye. Therefore, when thy eye is single, thy whole body. Everybody say whole body. Say whole body also is full of light. But when thy eye is evil, the body also is full of darkness. Take heed, therefore, that the light which is in thee be not darkness. If thy whole body, therefore, be full of light, having no part dark. Turn to your neighbor and say, is that possible? The whole shall be full of light, as when the bright shining of a candle doth give thee light. In this symbolic statements and teachings, the Lord Jesus tells us the purpose of our Christianity, which is for the light of God that is inside us to be made manifest through our physical bodies for all the earth to see. And he uses a very simple, Jesus taught profound things with extreme simplicity. Illustration that if you have a lamp, in those days they didn't have electricity like we do today, they had torches or lamps. So you don't go and put it under a bushel or in a secret place, but you put it in a place where the light can shine so that people can enjoy the benefit of the light. Today we have electricity, so I'll try and use a modern analogy. If I had like a torchlight, the one on your phone, there's light in it, and then you now cover it with a dark cloth, nobody will see the light. Even though the light is there, the cloth, the whatever it is that you use to cover it, the veil, thank you, Pastor Guiga, does not allow the light to come out. So even though the light is there, the people do not benefit from the light. The illumination it is supposed to give is not given, and people don't enjoy the light, even though, and I want to emphasize that, it is actually there. It is the same thing with us. I like the word secret here, because what happens to us when we get born again is internally secret. It is secret in the sense that it is known to us internally, but it is not known to people around us initially. It's there. The Bible calls it in one place the hidden man of the heart. Is hidden. In another parable, Jesus said, the kingdom of God is like a woman that took leaven and hid it. Anything that is hidden is a secret. Anything that people don't know yet is a secret. Hid it in 3 measures of meal. But the whole purpose was not that it remains secret. The purpose is that until the whole is leavened, the whole, so instead of it just being in the inner part of the leaven, is supposed to come out so that everybody will see it and benefit from it. And so he begins to tell us here how that process takes place. He says, your eye is symbolic of the mind, the will, the emotions, the soul. He said, that is the light of the body. Let's say it in another way. It's the connection between the spirit and the body. So it's the gateway. If the eye is bad, or it says here, you know, evil, it blocks the light that is inside the spirit, and it doesn't allow it to enter the body, and so the body and the physical circumstances don't benefit from that light. But if your eye or the mind, the soul, it says if it is single or is in good condition, then it acts as a gateway through which the light and the life that is in the spirit shines outwardly into the body, and from thence into the circumstances, into the environment, then it fulfills its purpose of giving light to the, like you use that word, of the you know, of the people in the room. We're not in a room today, we're in the world. As I speak today, the world is engrossed darkness, according to Isaiah chapter 60. And God has put light into the world in us. The scripture actually says, you are the light of the world. But because of this problem, the light that is in us is not shining brightly enough to provide light for the whole world. He gives a stern warning. He said, take heed that the light that is in thee be not dark. It's light, it's in you. He doesn't deny that. He said, but it can effectively become darkness if it's not shining out and something is blocking it. Even though it is there, nobody will going to see it. Nobody's going to benefit from it. And so, functionally, even though it is light, it's darkness. Because nobody is seeing the light. Nobody is benefiting from the light. And I would just like to throw a few thoughts out to us to, like I said, an exhortation. It says, exhort one another. When John the Baptist came, he began to tell the people about the Lord Jesus that was coming. And he began to tell them to bring forth fruit worthy of repentance and so on and so forth. And the scripture actually uses this word. It says, and he said to them many such things in his exhortation. And I'm doing a similar thing now. See, the Lord has been speaking to me as a person about his great desire to allow this light. The light that is in us is wonderful. It's that's the best word. I don't like to use the word fantastic. The world uses the word fantastic, which has to do with fantasy. Sometimes it's unreal. What we have is not fantastic, it's wonderful. That's the best way to describe it. It's something that will make you wonder. He said, My children, I and the children that God's given are for signs and wonders. But nobody's wondering about you and I right now. Not because it's not there, but because it's not coming out as with the intensity and the brilliance that it should. And God is encouraging us to let the mind, the eye, we need to clean it out so that instead of acting as a block to that light, it acts as a gateway to it. So that the body will be full of light that men can see. I've preached on these themes with great zeal, intensity in the last few months. The ability of the mind of Christ, the manifestation of the life of God in the physical body, doing the same miracles Jesus did and greater. Not only physical miracles, intellectual, political, economic, environmental. That's the light. That's what men, they will see it. As it is this day, we haven't seen a sufficiently significant measure of that light shining forth from the church. And so, many people, even Christians, you know, who are not yet rooted and grounded in the faith as they should, sometimes begin to wonder, is this thing really real? Is it as they say it is? I was here, I think it was the Wednesday before, I can't remember, and I was given the story of a particular brothers many, many years ago, was in a plane crash locally here, And he said the sinner's prayer. He came and testified that it's just for insurance. Because he wasn't sure if he would live or die when the plane was going down. He survived, we thank God. You know, but I said, not that it's wrong to pray, but not to be sure, not to know for certainty that what you believe is real, and that were you to leave your body this second, you would go to heaven, is to show that your faith is not robust. It's not rooted and grounded. And the reason for that is because of these things. When you don't see light, you don't see the wisdom, the glory, you begin to wonder if this thing, is it really there or is it not? It's there. There's no doubt about that. Like Jesus said here, take heed that the light that is in thee is there, is in you. He said, but if it's not coming out, you'll be wondering whether, is it dark? Is it really there or is it not there? Even though in reality it is there. What's the difference between the Christian and the unbeliever? It's this supernatural ability, this divine nature, this divine ability that's inside us. But if it is not shining out, if people look at you on the surface, they don't see a difference between you and the unbeliever. Then they begin to doubt what you say. You say your God is this, you say your God is that, you say, you know, there is, you know, the most excellency is Jesus, and we sing all our beautiful songs, which I'm in perfect agreement with. But the point is, let's demonstrate it. Until we demonstrate it, there is a degree of respect. The Bible calls it reverence. It says they will know that you are called by the name of the Lord, and then they will be what? Afraid of you. It's not a terrorist kind of fear. It's a reverential kind of awe. Thank you. And it is the will of God. And that's why the challenge of this hour is for us to, I can't say it better than the Bible. It says, arise and shine. There's two things. The word arise, in other words, the word awake. And then when you are awake, now shine. Let what is inside, let it come out to such a significant degree that the people around us, we won't have to be telling people or begging people to come to church. They will rush here because they will be seeing something that they don't see anywhere else. And I want to use this little time to encourage us along these lines. The church has reached a junction, I believe with all of my heart, where this manifestation, this glory must appear now. Using another illustration that has been used recently, I think I've also used it here recently. When they are refining silver, they heat it to very high temperatures in the furnace. There's a reason for that, so that the impurities inside the silver will come to the top. Then they skim it off, the skim of the impurities, and they keep heating it. What I'm about to say is of great importance and significance. And they say, when do they know that it is pure? When the silversmith can see himself. When it becomes pure enough, he'll be able to see himself. Now, there's a word of caution there. You mustn't overheat it. If you pass the point where it sees itself, then the building gets destroyed. The Holy Spirit, who is the one who is working in us, is a God of precision. As he's doing this work of refining inside us, allowing the impurities to come to the surface, removing them, he doesn't take his eye off the ball. He keeps watching. He keeps watching. He keeps watching for that point where he can see Jesus in you. Once he can see his image, he takes you out of the fire. Because the fire has done the work that it was designed to do. And so, for us now, the world, without knowing it, is waiting. They're waiting for us. Even we ourselves are waiting. The Bible says so. We're waiting, we're groaning, so to speak. God is groaning, the world is groaning. Everybody is wondering what is going to happen. If you look at the events, the present, current world events, Israel and Iran just yesterday firing rockets at each other, coming close to the brink, closer to the brink of war than has ever happened before between those two nations in recent times. You know, and the whole world is just Bible says they're waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God. And so I want to leave these words with us. Let us, it's our responsibility. We have a responsibility. We cannot do it by ourselves alone, but God will not do it without us. So it's a divine human cooperation. It's a synergy between us and God to let this light shine. Turn with me to Isaiah 60. I'll just throw in out a few thoughts of encouragement. The things God's been speaking to me. It's one of the most, it's a beautiful scripture. It's very encouraging. It says, arise, shine. I didn't hear you. Shine. Everybody say shine. Shine. For thy light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. For behold, darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people. Turn to your neighbor and say, that is happening now. It's not going to happen. It's already happening. I watch the news, you know, CNN and all this. I shake my head at the depravity that humanity has fallen into. You know, I'm almost 60, and I can think back to when I was 20, 30 years old. Things were bad, but not like this. Not like this. Not like this. I was sharing with Pastor Bega, I think we were in my house, we were watching something. You know, this fierce incontinent. If you hear some of the things people are doing, killing children, killing husband killing wife, wife killing husband, and not just ordinary rip his intestines. It's demonic. The devil has come down. He used to be upstairs. But now, you see human beings, and it's not peculiar to one place or one region or Nigeria. It's all over. All over. You begin to ask yourself, what is happening? The scriptures are very clear. It is iniquity that is abounding. It was there, but it's increased. And it's increasing every day. And there is only one thing that can stop it. Abounding grace. Where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. But it abounds through the church. That is why the church has a great responsibility. It says, verse 3, and Gentiles shall come to thy light. See, that's what Jesus was talking about in that parable. Put the candlestick on the table so that everybody can see the light. So long as it's inside us, Christ is in us. We're born again. Nobody's doubting that. But if the light that is in us is covered with the sin nature in our soul and in our body, and the thing is not shining out, they won't know. That's why they're not coming. When last did any Gentile come to you? When there's Gentiles, there's just nations. And kings to the brightness of the light. When last did any king come to you? To come and ask you, or say, you know, there's something, surely God is in you, we want to come and get something from you. Because it's not shining to the degree it should be shining. Lift up thine eyes round about. All they gather themselves together. They come to thee, thy sons from afar, thy daughter shall be nursed. It's talking about the harvest of the end time that will come. I'll stop in verse 5. Thou shalt see and flow together. Your heart shall fear and be enlarged. Give this to me in the New International Version. That verse 5. It's one of my good. Then you will look and be radiant. Your heart will throb and swell with joy. The wealth on the seas will be brought to you, and to you the riches of the nations shall come. When the church starts shining, everybody will be coming. Because they want to see what they have not seen before. Hello, somebody. And God wants to, is encouraging us. I'll share a few more scriptures with you. The Lord has been putting in my heart. And I believe will be of encouragement to you. I think about three of them. And then I will close. The first one. We're in this time and state now of great expectation. We've been hearing, we've been preaching, we've been prophesying. But the time is upon us now where we're expecting a manifestation. The first one is in Malachi chapter 3. The very familiar scripture, if you've been following our prophetic teachings. For those who have not been, I would encourage you to get some of our things. You know, but for today, this is a brief exhortation. It says, behold. Behold. The word behold means to look and see. I will send my messenger. Don't your neighbor say, he has already done that. And he shall prepare the way before me. Turn to your neighbor and say, that also has already been done. The way has already been prepared. And the Lord, whom you seek, shall suddenly come to his temple. Turn to your neighbor and say, that's what we're expecting now. So all those first two parts, the prophetic ministry, I've been a part of it. I'm not the only one. You know, the John the Baptist prophetic way for 70 years. You know, actually since 1900. The return of Pentecost, there have been people who have been operating in this ministry. There was an escalation of it in 1948 with the latter rain movement, where God began to give revelation about the latter rain and the fivefold ministry. That's when there was a strong emphasis on the fivefold ministry and the fact that, you know, God was going to use the apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastoral and teaching anointings to bring the church up, to grow the church up to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. That move was characterized by that truth and that understanding. People began to have prophecies that would, you know, call them into ministry gifts. The teacher, the pastor, particularly the prophetic and the apostolic, you know, And since then till now, God has been sending prophets. I'm just a part of that, you know. And the way has been prepared, you know, perfection, the blood, the word, the spirit, how to pray in tongues. It's been prepared. And then he says, the Lord whom you seek shall suddenly come to his temple. And now, don't your neighbor say, if you're not seeking the Lord, he will not come to your temple. He's only going to come to the temples of those who are seeking him. It's not, you know, it's this selective now. Not because God is selective, God wants to come to everybody, but it is those who are seeking. That's why Jesus told us in Luke chapter 11, when he's talking about prayer, he said, ask and you shall receive, seek and you shall find, knock and it shall be opened unto you. And he's talking about the Holy Spirit in particular. He wasn't just talking, he was talking about good things. It's recorded in Matthew chapter 7, but in Luke, he specifically talks about the Holy Spirit. He's not talking about the Holy Spirit for speaking in tongues. He's talking about the Holy Spirit for spirit without measure. So if you seek it, you say you will find it. Suddenly, I didn't hear you. Come to his temple. The word suddenly there is very important. We saw the first outpouring of it on the day of Pentecost. They were there on the day of Pentecost, 120 in the upper room. The Bible said, and suddenly, we're expecting another suddenly. Hallelujah. There's been the first outpouring. That was for the earnest. But now there's going to be a second outpouring for the Spirit without measure. Glory be to God. Suddenly, to his temple, even the messenger of the covenant. Notice there are two messengers here. The first messenger is the prophetic messenger. The second messenger is the apostolic messenger, which when he comes to the temple, he will now come with the Spirit without measure. Whom you delight in, I didn't hear you. Behold, he shall come, saith the Lord of hosts. Now, to let you know that he's not just talking about, you know, he's not talking about Pentecost here. He's not talking about what happened on the day of Pentecost. You know, even though there is a small application there, he's talking about this coming of the manifestation of the Spirit without measure. Who? Verse 2. But who may abide the day of his coming? And who shall stand when he appears? For he is like a refiner's fire and like a fuller's soap. So this coming will come with fire. It will come with power and glory, and sadly some people will not be able to stand when he comes. Now, the good news is that you can stand. He's told us what to do. He told us to watch and pray always. They may be accounted worthy to stand. So as you watch and pray, the people who are seeking, people who are expecting, who are getting themselves ready, when he comes, they will stand. You know, but his coming is going to be like a fire that will refine the church, the purifying of silver and gold. And he shall sit, I didn't hear you, as a refiner and purifier of silver, and he shall purify the what? The sons of Levi, which is speaking of the priesthood. But in the New Testament, all of us are priests. So it has a universal application to every New Testament Christian who is seeking these things. And purge them, as the illustration I was given earlier, as gold and silver, that they may offer unto the Lord an offering in righteousness. This is the first scripture that I want to leave with us. The second one you find in Hosea. Hosea 6, verses 2 and 3. This is a scripture where I taught extensively on this many, many years ago, and in recent times the Lord has brought it back with fresh understanding. It's there, the same thing, but it's with greater clarity now. Now, let's read. It says, after 2 days, he will revive us. And in the third day, he will raise us up, and we shall live in his sight. Then shall we know, if we follow on to know the Lord, his going forth is prepared as the morning, And he shall come unto us as the rain, as the latter and former rain unto the earth. When God, first of all, began to speak to me from this scripture, this was in the early 90s, it was about 1990, you know, I taught on this, I even wrote books on it and all that. I saw it as, and it's not wrong, as, you know, after 2 days, which is 2,000 years, there will be a revival, a reviving, and somewhere later on in that 2,000 year period, there will be a raising up which speaks of the rapture. And that interpretation is absolutely correct. It is not wrong. However, recently, the Lord showed me that that is true, manifold wisdom of God. But if you look at this thing carefully, you will see that he's not talking just about that alone. Look at this in the New International Version. Let me show you something here. No, I think the Amplified is better. Thank you. Yes, is the Amplified I want us to see. It says, after 2 days, he will revive us. You see it in bracket. Quicken us. Give us what? Didn't we have life before? We had life before. But he's talking about there will be an increase in the measure of the life of God, you know, that will flow from our spirit into our soul, into our body. He's talking about cleansing, perfection. The life of God will begin to flow into our mind, will, into our emotions, you know. And on the third day, he will raise us up that we may live before him. That raising us up isn't the rapture alone. It has application to that. But this manifestation of the glory of God, he says, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. He will raise us up with this glory of God. And then, now let's go to verse 3 and go back to the New King James. So sometimes you see these translations, their emphasis, as the Holy Spirit leads, you know, you'll be able to get what God is saying in a better way when you flip from translation to translation. Then shall we know, watch this, it's conditional, if we follow on to know the Lord. What does that mean? You see, that manifestation, when it happens, and we're now living in his presence, you know, they lived in Jesus' presence. We touched him, we tasted, we saw him, we were always walking around with him. When the glory of God comes and there are men and women who are like Jesus, you'll be literally living in his presence. And at that time, if you follow those people, then you will know. You have to see it in that context. Say then, not after. So this can't be in heaven. Hello. It's here. Then shall we know. I didn't hear you. If we follow on to know the Lord. In other words, once you see that example before you, if you start following it, then you too will know. And then he says, he's going forth, he's prepared as the morning. That's old King James English. Another, the New International Version, as well as the Amplified, says, as surely as the sun rises, this thing is going to happen. Give it to me in the, we're flipping in between translations. If you go back to the, I think it's the New International, or the King James, sorry, the Amplified, look at the NIV, it says, as surely as the sun rises, he will what? That appearing of Christ in us is certain. It says, as surely as the sun arises, and when he appears, he's going to come to us like the what? Winter rains. Or like the latter rain and the former rain together. It's going to be this, it's going to bring this combination of the fundamental teachings and the teachings on perfection that is going to water the church and cause people to grow into the fullness of Christ. And so, God is encouraging us with these scriptures that time is upon us. And what we need to do, that's why I started with Malachi, is, you know, seek him. Don't stop seeking him in this regard. Don't stop seeking him for these things. Finally, the last one I will share is in Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 35. Let's stay with the King James. If I want to change, I will let you know. It says, cast not away, therefore, your confidence, which has recompense of reward. Everybody scream that word great. Scream it again. Scream it again. Scream it again. Scream it again. I've discovered that God doesn't use words carelessly. This manifestation, this coming of Christ, he says the reward is a great one. The Amplified Bible, I think, quickly go to the Amplified. For it has a great and what? Glorious. Use the word glorious. Compensation of what? Reward. Stay with the Amplified. For you have need of patience, steadfast in patience and endurance, so that you may perform and fully accomplish the will of God. And thus, look at the language. Receive and carry and enjoy to the full. How many people want to enjoy to the full? He doesn't want you to enjoy half of it. He wants to enjoy everything. What is what? Now, this is a principle that you can use for prosperity. You can use it for healing. You can use it for marriage. You can use it for so many principles. And those are not wrong. But that's not what he's talking about. That's not the promise. Those are promises, but they're not the promise. Go to verse 37. You can see what he's talking about. For still a little while, a very little while, the coming one will what? And he will not delay. So he's talking here about the coming of Christ in us. That's the actual context in which he's talking, even though the principle can be applied in so many areas. But this is the actual context. He wants his coming in us. Don't get discouraged. Don't throw away your confidence. It has a great recompense of reward. You have need of patience. After you've done the will of God, then you will receive that promise of his coming. Malachi chapter 3. The Lord whom you seek will come to his temple. Said it's as sure as the sun is going to arise that he will come. And so I want us to be encouraged, and I want us to continue to seek the Lord with all of our hearts in this area. In these areas, I think it was Pastor Kunle was ministering recently, you know, and he said something or alluded to something. You see, your vision is like the room in a house, but God's vision is the whole house. No, all of us have things in our lives we want God to do for us. Some people are looking for husbands, some people are looking for wives, some people are looking for children, some people are looking for a new job, some people are looking for different, we have different aspirations. Just on the side, you know, it just came to me, there's a song somebody sang. He said, you see, that's why none of us should be complaining. And we should be grateful to God. You know what you have now is a dream for somebody else. There are things you have now. Somebody else is still believing God for it. Somebody else is still dreaming, and you already have it. And with it, you are complaining. That's why you should turn to your neighbor and say, never complain. Be always grateful to God. Because the things you already have, somebody else is still believing God for it. It's still a dream for somebody else. Very, very, very true. Very, very true. But going back to what I was saying, so you know, we have different, as some people are believing God to enter the university, some people are believing God for postgraduate. Some people, you know, are believing God to get a job and so on and so forth. We all are. But all those things are only rooms inside the house. The house is Jesus. Amen. These things we're telling you, He's coming in us, is the house. All those things you want are simply rooms that are inside the house. Once you get the house, the room is inside. The pearl of great price. So why waste time trying to get the room? Why don't you spend your energy getting the house? Once you get the house, the room is inside the house, fully furnished. It's the same thing Jesus says, seek first the kingdom, and then all these things shall be added. That's why He wants us to be kingdom oriented, not need oriented. Because kingdom includes the need. The need is inside the kingdom. The room is inside the house. I'm going to close with this thought. This is an exhortation, just sharing. It's the Lord. There are three witnesses. I was in the matter of two or three. But there are three witnesses that will always help you when you are, and all of us are, tempted to doubt. When the devil comes and tells you, I preached this, you know, earlier on in the year, where is the promise of His coming? For all things are the same, like when the Father, that's a lie anyway, because things have changed. Praise the Lord. Amen. I'm here in 2018. You understand? The amount of God that is inside me now and my knowledge of God is not what I had in 1980. All things are not the same. So the devil is a liar. Are you listening to me? Yes. So there are things that the thing, even the church, in spite of all our errors and mistakes and everything, we're not where we used to be. So all things are not the same since the Father fell asleep. It's a lie. But the devil will come and tell you that. So anyway, going back to what I was saying, we are all tempted to doubt sometimes, you know, when maybe some things haven't come that you expect God to have done, that you think should have come, they have not come, things haven't happened the way you thought. And the tendency is to say, hope deferred makes the heart sick. If you're not careful, you fall into that trap. You know, is this thing true? Hey, would this thing even happen? Maybe I should just, you know, the Bible says that if any man draw back, my soul will have no pleasure in him. Don't fall into that trap. Don't. That's what happened to the children of Israel. Moses said, I'm taking you to the promised land, the land of milk and honey. They said, okay, let's go. They got to on the way, you know, where's the milk and honey? There's no water. The water is bitter. All kinds of problems. No food. No this. There's this. No meat. Nothing. This is your promised land. You know. After a while, the Bible says, and some of them, and this must not happen to you, in their hearts they turned back to Egypt. When you have challenges on your odyssey, on your journey with God, never turn your back to Egypt. And said, when we were in Egypt, we had leeks and onions and garlic and all of that. Those are the things the Bible says God was not pleased with them. Don't. It's a temptation. It is a real temptation when things are not happening the way you think they should have happened or when they happen. The tendency is for the heart to begin to turn back and say, will these things ever be, you know, or begin to doubt and to have unbelief and all of that, and it's not the will of God. And it displeases God. He says, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. Don't say, if any man draw back, say, my soul will have no pleasure in him. So don't draw back. So three witnesses that will always help you. It will God shared this with me. I mean, the things I've preached over the years, but they will really encourage you. Number one, the heavens declare the glory of God. Anytime any kind of thing happens, maybe in your life, things are not working, just look up. That's why he put it there. The heavens are a witness. Look at the heavens do what? Declare the glory of God. That thing is not there by accident. The moon, the stars. That's what God did for Abraham. When Abraham was tempted to doubt, he brought him out and he showed him the stars. And he says, so shall thy seed be. And Abraham believed God. Number one. Witness number two. I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Look up, then look at your body. It's not an accident. Hello? I was discussing some of our friends who came to visit us recently. You know, they're professors of medicine and all that. You know, and they agreed with me. They're Christians too, you know. I said to them, I said, there is no way any scientist can doubt the existence of God because of DNA. DNA is a computer program. It is far more precise than any computer program that Bill Gates or any of these, Apple or any of them have written. It is so precise, Dr. Williams will tell you, and any of the medical people here will tell you, if you remove one bit, just remove one of the DNA sequence, it can kill you. What causes cancer is a distortion. They now find that all the cures for everything is at cellular level. Forget Bible, put it on one side for just a few minutes. Amen. You are seeing it. It's a program. A program requires an intelligence. You know, you write your own program, you know, by either your biro or your paper, and then you type it into your computer. That is your what should I call it? That's the medium. You can write a program on CD disc. You can write it, you know, on a computer chip. That's your medium. God's medium is chemistry. It's chemistry that we find in nature. We didn't make it, we discovered it. So somebody had written it there. And it has to be. That's enough to make you back off. That's why the psalmist didn't know DNA. He didn't know DNA. But he just looked. Ah! He shook his head. He said, I am fearfully and wonderfully made. I'm going to close. The last witness, Israel. Three. Israel. Whenever you are tempted to doubt the Bible or doubt whatever it is God has said, look at the heavens, look at your body, and then look at Israel. It's evidence that cannot be disputed. These people have been away from their land for 2,000 years. 1948, 70 years ago, which has another prophetic significance that I'll not bother to go into this afternoon. I have preached it recently. You understand? God brought them back, revived an ancient language. They turned the desert into a fruitful field. Everything God said that he said, in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. Our own is still coming. Where is spiritual seed? But God has already fulfilled it for the physical seed. Whether it's air conditioner, whether it is computer, whether it is in everything, you find Israel there. The small nation in the Middle East, surrounded by Arab enemies. But not only has it survived, it has flourished. It is thriving, and all their enemies are afraid of them.
Oh, yes, oh.
You notice that, you know, they said Jerusalem, they moved the capital to Jerusalem. They said they will shout. They shouted for 2 weeks. And tomorrow, Donald Trump is going to open the embassy. They will only make noise. You know why? Israel has an atom bomb. And they all know they have an atom bomb. Not only do they know that America cannot stop Israel from using it. If an existential threat exists. Not kind of play, you can just go and make, you know. And for every time, if you fire 10 rockets to Israel, Israel will fire 100. You know why? They learned the lesson from the Holocaust. After what Adolf Hitler did. They said, never again. Never again. And you know what? They don't go to church. They don't even go to synagogue. There is no temple. There is no priesthood. There is no sacrifices as of today. That will come later. There is nothing. Only the promise. Everything Israel is enjoying today is based on a promise. Not to them, but to their fathers. Stand to your feet. So, our own promise is certain. So that by two immutable things, in which it is impossible for God to lie, that you and I, who are heirs of the promise, might have strong consolation to lay hold upon the hope that is set before us, Christ in us, the hope of glory. Don't ever doubt. Always fall back on these three things. Heavens, your body, and Israel. They are always there. And you say, if he was faithful to them, he will be faithful to me. For I have a better promise. Covenant established upon better promises. Let's talk to God. I believe these few words of exhortation. So don't let that light be darkness. It's there. Israel doesn't even have light. It's just the promises to the fathers. See how faithful God has been to them. Let me just say this, you know, I didn't plan to say this, but you know. But it was after 2,000 years of chastening. Because of disobedience. Are you listening to me? Faithful God. But in our case, we have the Lord Jesus Christ. Hello, somebody. We have a better covenant established upon better promises. There's no reason why the church should not be 100 times more blessed than Israel. It's because a lot of people in church, they don't even believe. That's why I shared all of these things, so that you can believe. Anytime you just look up, the heavens declare the glory of God. Then look in your body. When you don't just look at your finger and all that. Just look and say DNA. Just remind yourself, say DNA. It's the DNA that determines the color of your eyes. The arrangement of your teeth, everything is all programmed by the master programmer. And that is the same one who has given you his word. You can go home and sleep. You can rest assured. Turn to your neighbor and say, it's well with you. Hallelujah. Faithful God. Faithful God.
Faithful God.
Also sufficient one. We worship you.
Shalom.
Hallelujah. Shalom. A strong deliverer. We lift you high.
We lift you high.
Sing it to him. Faithful God. Hallelujah.
Faithful God.
salvation. We worship Shalom, our peace. A strong deliverer. Shalom, our peace.
Shalom, our peace. A strong deliverer. A strong deliverer.
Put one hand on your heart. Raise your other hand to God. This God who we serve. And that's why I gave you practical, real life, present time examples that you can always look at. Just look at the heavens. Scientists are still baffled at the order of the cosmos and the position of Earth in our Milky Way galaxy. It's called the Goldilocks. Where we can see far into the other side of the galaxy. In some other place, they can't see from there. This is not... Put Bible on one side, just for a minute. Your body and Israel. The covenant-keeping God. They are beloved for... Not for their sakes, but for their father's sakes. And God watched over that word to perform it. He's going to watch over it in your life. He's going to perform it in your life. Whenever you are tempted to doubt, look up. Look inwards and look at Israel. And say, that covenant keeping God is still alive. And he's working on my case. Raise that hand. Touch your heart. Say, Father, I confess. Say, we confess all of our sins, especially the sin of unbelief and discouragement. We clean all of our hearts with the blood of Jesus from all unrighteousness. In Jesus' name, we have life. Lord, have mercy on us as we pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this word. I thank you for your word of exhortation, your word of encouragement, telling us, reminding us that the promised one will come. He will appear in us. He will come suddenly to his temple with glory and with power for all the nations of the earth to see. Have mercy on me, Lord. Help me. Strengthen my heart. Comfort my heart. Help me. Help me. Help me to see that you are a faithful God, a covenant-keeping God. As you've been faithful to natural Israel, even so now, you're even being more faithful to us, spiritual Israel, having a better covenant that is established upon better promises. Help me to see this. Help me to keep it in my heart. Continue to practice your word. Continue to seek you so that you will come suddenly to my temple, even my physical body, in this hour. In Jesus' name, amen.
lambre dolmo shella ki to fres lambre klomo tolomo klom lambre klomo tolomo sto fres to klomo tolomo lambre do fres je ki to fres lambre klomo tolomo sto fres sto fres klomo tolomo lambre do klomo tolomo sto fres lambre klomo tolomo lambre do fres je ki klomo tolomo klomo tolomo 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 to fres Zephrini, l'ombre comme Tolomachuk, Tolomachuk Kusha, Zephrinia, Yakutufri de Kro, Tolomatufri de Frishingar, l'ombre de Klomatolomus de Frishing, l'ombre Kamasha, l'ombre de Klomatolomatolofri de Frishingara, comme Tufri de Frishing, Tufri de Frish, Tolomatolomanka Klomatolomus de Frish, l'ombre de Klomatolomus, Tolomatufrines, Tolomaras, Tolomatufrines.
In Jesus' name. A strong deliverer. We lift you high. In Jesus' name. Join hands with somebody. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face to shine upon you. The Lord lift up the light of His countenance upon you. The Lord God gives you peace. God makes you head and not tail, above only and not beneath. Everything you set your hand to is successful. You are at least 10 times better than your peers. You possess the gate of your enemies, even the gate of death. So you will live and you will not die. You will live and you will declare the glory of God in the land of the living. With long life, God satisfied and show you His salvation, even the perfection and the fullness of Christ. So, the Lord imparts unto you the anointing of Enoch, Abraham, Joseph, Moses, Joshua, Ruth, David, Elisha, Daniel, Esther, Paul, and John. In Jesus' name, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God our Father, and the sweet fellowship of the blessed Holy Spirit, and abide with us now and forevermore. In Jesus' name. Turn up and say, by the stripes of Jesus, you are healed, you are delivered, you are free. For who the Son has set free is free indeed. In Jesus' name, amen.